Good evening, radio listening audience. I'm Gary Wallace, and welcome to our program, The Scorpion's Honey. Today's story, Sweet Venom, was written by Otrova Gomez for his book, The Scorpion's Honey. Sit back and see how an alter ego can totally change what could have been an ordinary life. I have a pet scorpion. He is long and black as the night. Two sharp pointed pinchers adorn his forehead, and his trembling tail is perpetually arched and raised, oscillating, poised, and ready to furnish that sting that no one understands. I have had him for a number of years now. My sacred pet would be a proper designation for him, even though I testify that he is completely inoffensive. His enormous size and well-fed body alarm all who come into his presence and fills them with panic. My wife left me because of him. I lost contact and dealings with most of my friends since they don't dare come near him. The bottom line is that I cannot abandon him. I have raised him since he was born. I have hand-fed him. To be in my presence is the reason he exists. I remember so clearly separating him from his brothers and sisters as they devoured their mother. This is a ritual that all scorpions honor and observe faithfully. He was the blackest, most aggressive, and hungriest of all of that crustacean litter. He had already devoured the eyes and entrails of his dear mother, who had just given birth to her offspring. When I grabbed him by his little tentacles, he was livid as his fury raged, and he tried his best to plant his caudal sting into my tender flesh. Lucky for me, he was still too young and too weak to do any damage back then. I wasn't at all afraid of him and even laughed at his frustration and fury for not being able to finish the macabre dinner that he had been enjoying so much. Little by little, I started soothing him and calming him down until he became fully tranquilized. I kept him safely protected in a glass box where I could feed him a feast of spiders, antlion larvae, butterflies, leafcutter ants, and different kinds of leaves that I have learned that he enjoys. When I fed him, I never failed to massage his back gently, even though he always tried his best to strike out in anger and sting me. I learned how to avoid his attacks by observing very carefully the slightest movements of his tail. I used my God-given agility to keep clear of that unfriendly, uncalled-for lunge that I never could understand. I called my scorpion Albert, after my foster father. This helped me forget and cover up the years of unpleasant memories that I have guarded in secrecy since my infancy. In spite of all that, I am confident that I have truly won his affection. I am neither a naturalist nor a dictator. My desire to domesticate and tame this soulless creature is driven by nothing more than an inexplicable whim. I can see why you might criticize my judgment, but for me, it has become a driving force that dictates all of my life's decisions. After I had him for 2 years, he was already as big as a spoiled, overweight house cat. When I get home from work, he is eagerly waiting, standing on his 6 feet in his glass cage, wanting me to massage him all over. He and I have a reciprocal, sincere respect for each other. I love him, and he looks up to me. Seeing how playful he is, months ago I started taking him out of his improvised cage for hours at a time. He would run around the house playing with my children, who practically adore him. On the other hand, this bothered my wife greatly, especially when he strolled by the baby's crib. My wife would tremble and spew with hate at Albert in fear that something might happen to our little one. She chased him around, spraying insecticide on him, and in frustration, tried to stomp on him a number of times. She finally couldn't take it anymore and left us. Albert knew how repugnant and repulsive he was to her. In his scorpion mentality, he remembered that mothers give their lives for their children. He knew that mothers protect their own. For that reason, he truly pardoned her. I remember the night that she took the kids and left. He stood at the window and watched her drive away as he bid her farewell with a parting movement of his tail. I am positive that he never felt any bad feelings about her. When things are going bad in my life, I go to him as my personal counselor. I lie down on the couch, grab him by his waist, lift him onto my chest, and pour my heart out to him. He comforts me and moves up to my mouth and gently caresses my lips with his tentacles and claws. Just being with him makes me forget all of my troubles and woes and gives me a feeling of unsurpassable relaxation. If this little guy should die, I wouldn't be able to stand it. Even though I know him so well, I have been notably impressed by one thing that makes me wonder. When his stinger makes its lightning strikes, instead of venom, I enjoy the marvelous honey. It is a tender honey that can only be made by a scorpion like Albert. Right at the very moment when you think you know what's going to happen next, something happens that you never expected. We hope you'll tune in again next week for another intriguing episode of The Scorpion's Honey. Thanks for listening to 88.9 KETR. Your pledges are what make programming like this possible. We need your support. Donate safely and securely online at ketr.org/support.